Wow, Mother's Day was made official by President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 for the second Sunday in May, which is today, the 10th, right? That makes this the 112th celebration of Mother's Day in the United States. I think that we celebrated before, but this made it official. This was an official day. And then I was looking through the notes. Pete gave me some notes for Mother's Day, and I saw one that said 600 college students were asked to write down the most beautiful word in the English language. 422 of them wrote mother. The most beautiful name, mother. I thought that was amazing. I had to share that because to me, that is the most beautiful name other than God, right? We're going to lift God up first, but then our mother. Our mother shared so much with us. So 112 years, a lot has changed in 112 years. A dozen eggs would cost 14 to 21 cents. A gallon of milk, 35 cents. A pound of cheese, 22 cents. The hourly wage for a worker, an hour, 22 cents. Wow. An average house would cost $3,000, but if you were smart and you had land, you would go to Sears. And they had a kit house, a two-story house, three bedrooms that you could buy between $600 to $800. Isn't that amazing? But today the price is milk $3 to $4, cheese $3.50 a pound, an hourly wage in Imperial Valley $16.90. Unless you work at fast food, it's $20 an hour. But the house, a three-bedroom house, $320,000 to $500,000. That's in Imperial Valley. That's crazy. What has changed, right? How has our culture changed in our mothers today? How has that culture changed? Our culture today has embraced as its greatest value to be personal happiness. It's all about me, right? Mother, they think it's all about me. As long as I am happy. But the results of this in the mother's lives is divorce. It's acceptance of sexual immorality, and the obsession with self-fulfillment. This is my body. This is my choice. Have you heard that? That's another sermon. We'll get to that later. But as Anna shared, what we learned at the apologetics is about a worldview. And everybody has a worldview. Every day, we are being shaped by stories, stories about who you are, where you came from, what's wrong with this world, and what it takes to fix it. But you got to be careful, because not all stories are true. Not all stories are good. We learned the stories that makes the most sense of the world and your place in it is a story with a beginning, a purpose, a deep conflict, and a deeper hope. It's a story that doesn't ignore the darkness, but breaks through it with light. Breaks through it with light. Who do you think that light is? Jesus, right? The Christian story tells us of a good God who made us, a real fall that broke us, and a radical rescue that changes everything. It's the only story where grace, which is getting something we don't deserve, what we do deserve is death, right? But God gives us eternal life through Jesus. That's a good place for a amen. Grace, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Grace enters the picture, not as an afterthought, but as the heartbeat of our lives. We need His blood to live. We need His blood to live. Grace, undeserved, unexpected, unstoppable. That is the difference. That is the difference of our Christian life. It is not about striving harder, fixing yourself, or being spiritual enough. It's about God who did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So mothers, fathers, and family members, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the truth that is being set before you. The Christian worldview doesn't just tell the best story. It tells the true story. The true story. So a worldview, this is what we learned up in apologetics. So worldview asks three questions. One, how did we get here? Two, what went wrong? Three, how do we fix it? The naturalist says God doesn't exist and the natural forces are enough to explain everything. So one, the creation, right? God doesn't exist. The universe came from nothing. That's kind of hard to believe. The universe came from nothing, is it? Scientists disprove that all the time. You can't take nothing and have nothing and make something. It's impossible. So two, the fall. Humanity messed. Wait, did I do that right? Yeah, creation. God doesn't exist. The universe came from nothing. And then the fall, humanity messed up everything. That's pretty true. Three, the redemption. We must solve our own problems. That's what the naturalists believe. The pantheism is all is God, and distinctions are artificial. They're artificial. They're just made up. So one, the creation. Humans are a part of eternal divine consciousness. That's what they believe. Two, the fall. We forgot we are divine. Three, being one with the universe. That's the redemption. Being one with the universe. But Christianity, creation, in the beginning, God created. Period, to the point, right? God created. Fall, sin entered in, and we fall short of the glory of God. Three, the redemption. For God so loved the world. Reminds me of John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Guys, Jesus is real love. He's real love. And He shows that through His mothers. John 8:31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, You are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So knowing what you believe is key for knowing how to defend it. So we need to get ourselves in the Word of God. We have to know it to be able to defend it. So Pastor Pete would always tell me, if you have a word, you have a key word, go back to the first place in the Bible that you can read it. So our word is mother. So where in the Bible is mother first mentioned? So let's go back to Genesis 1, 25 through 31. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm not going to start right at where mother is. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind. So this is the sixth day. And everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Right there, the Trinity, right? That's pointing us to the Trinity. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, no other gender, right? Just male and female. Right there, I could stop and say, don't be conformed by the world. That's a lie. Male and female only. No other gender. This word is truth. Remember that. This is the true word. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. That doesn't say mother, but that's talking about being a mother, right? Being fruitful and multiply the earth. But let's keep going, because it actually does say mother. And subdue it. Have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields the seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds to you and shall be food. Also to every beast on the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So when he created you, he said it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then let's jump down to Genesis 2. 8 through 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasing to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst, and the tree of good of knowledge and good and evil. Genesis 2:10 through 2:14, it talks about the rivers that went from the garden, but I'm going to skip down to 15. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to tend it and to keep it. So he put man in the garden. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you will eat it, you will surely die. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to you. So a helper comparable to you. This is not a slave. This is somebody that is a helper to you. Somebody that is comparable to you. Because I need a lot of help. I need my helper. You can ask her. She'll wave. Right, Sarah? Yeah. Thank you, God, for my helper. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gives names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable, again, not a slave, comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man into a woman, and he brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman. Whoa, man. God, you knocked this out of the park. A home run, right? Whoa, man. Awesome. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. First place in the Bible. And be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So I wanted to point this out because women get a bad rep because Eve ate and then gave to Adam. That's not true. I mean, that is true. Eve did give to Adam. But who did God call about Adam eating and Eve eating? God called and talked to Adam, right? Because Adam was there. Did Adam tell Eve wrong? Did Adam misspoke to Eve? This is my thought. But I just wanted you guys to know, I don't blame any of you. Woman wasn't the one. Where was Adam? Where was the protector? So I want to say, Adam, shame on you. But what did Adam and Eve do? They ate, right? They put themselves above God. They took their eyes off of God and said, oh, I can eat of that. I can eat of that. I don't need God. They took their eyes off God. Remember when Peter was walking on the water? He was walking and then the waves started moving around, which we all have trials, right? It's not all calm. But Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and what happened? He fell. But Jesus was right there saying, come there, I got you. And then put him right in the boat, right? When we take our eyes off God, we fall. But this is Mother's Day, Andy. Why are we talking about this? There's so many mothers to look at in the Bible. Hannah, who prayed desperately for a child, and once the child was weaned, she dedicated her son Samuel to the Lord. She only got to saw him once a year. I don't know if I say this right, but Jochebed, the mother of Moses, who showed great courage in hiding her baby from Pharaoh, putting baby Moses into an ark of some sorts and floating him down the river. Great women, right? You could talk about that. Or I could talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Messiah. I could talk about her. But do you remember what I said about worldview? Everyone has a worldview. Every day we are being shaped by stories. I want the Christian worldview of a mother. So what does the Bible tell us this is? The Bible is our handbook. So we can look and find verses that tell us what a mother is supposed to be like. So today's verses, Titus 2, 3 through 5. Paul is writing to Titus while Titus was on the island of Crete. Titus was ministering to Christians here on Crete. Crete was a pagan environment who had a background of being violent, dishonest, and sexually immorality. And this is what the Cretans were well known for. And they even tell us this. So Titus 1:10. I know I said my verses were in 2, 3 through 5, but go back just a little bit. We're learning about the Cretans. For there are many insubordinates, disobedience. That's what that means. I can't say it, but I can say disobedience, so I'll say that. Both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of circumcision. So those were the Jewish leaders that were coming over to the island that were telling them they had to do different traditions. Those, or whose mouths must be stopped, whose subvert, that means undermining the households, the whole households, teaching things that they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Sounds a lot like the world today, doesn't it? So what are we supposed to do? In verse 13, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply. We need to stand up and vote. We need to vote for what is good. Voting's coming up. Here's a little plug for voting. Christians need to vote. So vote. Vote for what is moral and what is in this book. Okay. Verse 14, not giving heed to the Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. 15, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God. They profess to know God. But in works, they deny him, being abominable. How do you say that? Abominable, disobedient, and disqualifies for every good work. It disqualifies them for all those good works. So if they go to heaven and they say, what, I did this in your name, they're disqualified. So we need to think, how are we showing God? How are we walking? So Titus 2:1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine? The gospel, right? Jesus. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience. Now, we're to the verses for the women. Mothers, here it is. This is your ministry. Titus 2:3. The older women likewise. It doesn't mean older in age. It means more mature in the Lord. Anna was a perfect example of that. She's mature in the Lord, and she knows what is right and what is wrong. And she was able to teach you guys. So the older women likewise, that they would be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may be blasphemed. May not be blasphemed. So before we break it down, my story, my worldview is my mom. Is my mom. So when I look at this, I look at my mom. I see a strong, loving, caring, and nurturing mother. But let's go through the list that Paul gives us. To be reverent in behavior. This is a heart attitude towards God, which should flow out of the mother. The heart attitude toward God, which should flow out of the mother. I see that in my mom. I see the Lord coming out of her. When I look at her, I see God's love. Not slandering, uttering false, malicious statements to a third party, damaging a person's reputation. She's never slandered anyone. Even when they wronged her, she doesn't slander them. Not giving much wine. A believer should not be addicted to anything. Not enslaved or accustomed to excessive alcohol consumption. As a believer, we shouldn't be addicted to anything but Jesus Christ. He is the one that we should be pulled to. But it said about alcohol. I've never seen her enslaved to alcohol. I've never seen her addicted to any kind of drugs. In fact, when she gets broke her ankle, twisted it really bad, she didn't take no pain pills. She's like, I don't want to take them. In fact, when my dad gets on pain pills, she gets them off him as soon as she can. She doesn't want them to be addicted to anything. A teacher of good things. That's a teacher of godly things. She took us to church every week, even when Dad wasn't home. She didn't have a driver's license. Dad was in the Navy on a boat. Ship. I won't say what I was going to say, but she had no driver's license. We had to walk everywhere, which I need to do a lot more walking because amen. Amen, right? But she took us. Even when it rained, she drove us. Yeah. It was only a few blocks, but we didn't get wet because she loved us and she knew we needed to be at church. Love your husband and your children. Fun number five. She always loves her husband. She would have to be married to my dad for 62 years. Amen. Amen, right? And she loves her children. She was always there for us and still is always there for us. I remember when I was five and I was doing something I wasn't supposed to do, jumping on the bed, doing flips on the bed, on her bed, in fact. And I missed the bed after a flip and I hit my head and I was in it. I had a concussion, but I went to sleep because she didn't know. We weren't going to tell mom. But at 2 in the morning, I got up and I was throwing up and my brother had to say, he hit his head last night. So when I was five, my birthday was the next day. I was going to turn six, but dad wasn't there. Dad was on a ship. Got that one right. But mom was there. So she called who she had to call. I don't know how I got to the hospital. I was out for 3 days. I would wake up and look, and mom was there. Mom was there. So she was always there. She loves her children. I guess I turned out okay. Can't say some words, but to be discreet. She has always been discreet, taking no glory. She's always been in the background, doing whatever it takes. She probably doesn't like that we're talking about her. But I give her a lot of glory. Chasten it. Always being modest, never flaunting. Her clothes have always been modest. She stayed with one person, one man, all her life. Still together. 62 years and counting. A homemaker does not mean women cannot go out and get a job. A homemaker means she puts her family second to God. God is first, her second is her family. So if God has given you the talent to do things, to go out and work, as long as you're taking care of your kids and your husband, work. Number nine, good. She has always been good to her husband and her family, lifting us up. 10, obedient to their own husband. Obedient to their own husband. Yes. She's been faithful to her husband through all those 62 years and counting. Faithful. The word of God may not be blasphemed. She's a true believer. She believes and trusts in the Lord God. And she tells us. So we went down the list. My mom was my worldview of what a Christian mother should be like. Willing to teach others about Jesus. Thank you, Mom. Mothers are caring for the spiritual, emotional, and physical needs of their children and their young and the younger women in the church. And I've seen my mom do that. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I persuaded, it is all in you also. So it's in you also. When I heard this, that verse, I was like, that reminds me of something. Reminds me of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. Have you seen that? Have you seen that when Leia is talking to Luke and asking him, what's wrong? And that's when he tells her, my father is Darth Vader. And she's like, gasping. But guess what? She said, the force is strong in my family. My father has it. My mother has it. I have it. And my sister has it. So I think Jesus should be strong in our family lives. Jesus should be taught from generation to generation, from person to person. Jesus should be taught in our families and shared with the world. So fathers, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. We need to get on our hands and knees and pray for our wives and children. A lot of my youth kids are not from this church. They're from the Christian school that we have here. I ask, why? Why are we not bringing our kids to youth? Why do we not come on Wednesdays to hear the gospel preach to you? Ray and Pete do an awesome job every week. And then he comes on Thursday and does it Thursday too. So for you Spanish-speaking people, which I'm not one of them, I wish I knew it. Thursday, come. There's no reason that you can't hear the word of God. A big church, I'm not sure which one, but there was a couple that did their independent studies. And they asked people, why are people leaving the church? They asked people that left the church, why did you leave the church? And 57% on the other, about there. I'm not sure if I'm quoting it right. But they said they stopped believing. How can you stop believing? You saw Anna up here praising God for what he's doing in her life. She was fired up. Why are we not like that? The experience that your child has between 5 and 17 years of old, if it's negative, they will stop coming to church. 75%. If positive, 84% will stay in church. So, fathers, Pray for your children. Pray for the youth ministries. Pray for our Calvary Chapel Christian School. Pray for them. The world, the devil wants your kids. He is here to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus has come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So give them a Christian worldview. Mothers, you are bringing up Christians of today and tomorrow. Read Titus 2, 3 through 5, and ask yourself, am I giving my children a Christian worldview on what a mother should be? And I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm not. I'm saying it to convict us. What does the world want? They want us to stop the Christian worldview, to stop sharing the truth. So we need to look at the truth, guys, because being a godly mother in a godly world is not easy. We need to pray for our mothers daily. We need to love them in words and in our actions. We need to honor them today and every day. Because mothers, you're a special gift from God that we get to enjoy every day. So the musicians, please come up. It's a little different Mother's Day sermon, message. But I pray that you would look at that. Model yourself after God's word. It's the truth. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us mothers, that you have given us a Christian worldview, Lord. I pray that we would look to your word, look to you for all that we do. And I pray that we would teach our children the ways that you want us to live. And we can live in joy and happiness and the hope that we get to be with you forever. That right there is amazing. We get to be with you forever, eternity. That joy that we would have is amazing. So Lord, I pray that we would honor our mothers today. We thank you for them, and I pray a special blessings on them today. And I pray that we would pray for them every day. Because in this ungodly world, we have godly mothers that point us to Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day.